Our New Testament scripture this morning is found on page 90. It's Luke 24, 13 through 35. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thank you.
O Lord, be let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, you look in your bulletin and it says the title for the scripture is "The Lord Has Risen Indeed." And we say on Easter Sunday, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Well, this is continuing that same day. Though in Luke's account, we have these words. Now on the same day, two people were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about Some scriptures say 6, some scriptures say 7 miles, but, you know, it's a good distance. We know that one of them is Cleopas. We know that the other one is, his name is lost to us. We only know Cleopas by name. But there were two people who were walking to Emmaus. Why were they walking to Emmaus? They'd heard stories, but they were downcast. Because when the Romans crucify somebody, they stay dead. Too many people had heard about his crucifixion. Too many people had heard how he was already dead when they took the other criminals down off the cross after they'd broken their legs. And some of them had heard the story of how Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and Mary Magdalene and other women wrapped Jesus' body and laid him in the tomb before the Sabbath began that Friday night. And they'd been there and spent the whole day grieving, wondering, when the Pharisees and Sadducees, police would come for them, because they were part of these followers of Jesus, the fear that had to have gripped them, the devastation with the realization that no one before this had ever come back from the dead. And they didn't really understand what Jesus had said so many times. Do you blame them? I mean, dead is dead. There's a finality to that. Even though they know that Lazarus was raised from the dead, but that was Jesus who raised him. Well, Jesus is now the one who is dead, the one who was buried in that tomb. And maybe they heard the reports and just found it too far-fetched, too troubling, too hard to believe, too hard to understand. Because so many times there's this idea in our intellectual minds, and that's what seems to rule us so greatly, is seeing is believing. We're looking at our five senses, and if we can smell it, see it, touch it, taste it, hear it, then it can be real. How many times do we see special effects? There's no way in the world that was real, but they've done it as a special effect. Or how many of you have gone to see a magician? Oh, gosh, what's the guy who... David Copperfield. I mean, that elephant just disappeared, right? Nah. But it sure seemed like it. It sure looked like it. And how many times have we seen something or said, until I see it? Even Thomas himself, unless I put my hand in these wounds and see him and touch him, not only can't I believe, but as Thomas said, I will not believe. Now, he may not have had the emphasis on the will, but certainly that's the way it comes across. Well, these two people on their road to Emmaus are walking along, and lo and behold, this person shows up. Well, we know in the account from Luke that it's Jesus himself. So they were talking about all these things that had happened. And Jesus himself came near and went with them. But just like Mary in the garden, she first thinks it's a gardener. Go figure. That's the natural assumption. Well, Cleopas and his friend, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Is it because, you know, when we are so bought into seeing is believing, we can only believe We can only see what we can intellectually believe. If something that's totally impossible happens in front of our eyes, we can't see it. We can't recognize it. It must be something else. It must have been a gardener. Well, to Cleopas and this other man, it couldn't have been Jesus. And he says, "What were you guys talking about?" As if he doesn't know. You know, he just shows up. What were you discussing with each other while you were walking along? And they stood still and looked sad. And then one of them, Cleopas, answered, like, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know these things that have taken place in these days?" I mean, it had to have been on everybody's lips. Everybody's lips. I mean, the whole city had celebrated, you know, on Palm Sunday, "Hosanna in the highest." You know, they were all anticipating. And how quickly, you know, when the Romans crucified people, they did it for the audience. They made a spectacle of it. There is no one in Jerusalem who didn't know that three men had been crucified. And there's nobody in there who didn't know that the one who some thought, some called the Messiah, hoped and believed was the Messiah, was one of those three that had been crucified. And when they're crucified, they're dead. And they stay dead. These things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Luke is, think about this. Who else was mighty in word and deed? What other prophet was mighty in word and deed? Moses. Moses does what? Tells Pharaoh, "Let my people go." He, through God's power, liberates Israel from freedom to slavery in Egypt. And Jesus, by the power through his divinity, frees all of us from slavery to sin and death. About how this prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests, leaders, handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, and now it's the third day since these things had taken place. See, they were expecting a David or a Solomon. They were expecting a prophet like the Maccabees. But that's not what God had in store for them. And they'd heard, they said, "Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." Now maybe they left before they heard Mary tell them that, "I've seen the Lord." But again, it's a different account. It's not Matthew. It's not Mark. This is Luke's account. They were at the tomb. They came back and told us that indeed they'd seen a vision and of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women and had said, but they did not see him. And that matches with the other accounts in the sense that Peter and John had not seen him. Then he said to them, this is Jesus. How many times does this start like this? He's either talking to Peter or he's talking to one of the rest of us. "Oh, how foolish you are." Not how silly and now how stupid, but more, "Can't you see?" It's almost like, "Can't you see? How foolish are you and how slow of heart to believe?" See, we see things with our eyes. We can touch things with our hands. We can smell. We can taste. We can hear. Those are the senses that are activated. But you know what? When you're in the presence of God, when you can just feel you're on holy ground, that's not one of the senses that sight, touch. You just feel it. You know it. There's something in your heart that triggers, and you just feel your heart strangely warmed. You know, it's, you don't have to be at an Aldersgate with John Wesley to feel your heart strangely warmed. When the Holy Spirit is there, when we feel the Holy Spirit at work, we know it. We have to get past our senses and the brain up here that wants to intellectually analyze and come up with some idea that how we can understand it. And the thing is, the beauty of God is to be experienced. God, we don't know anything about God that He doesn't reveal to us. There's nothing. The Scriptures is how God reveals through man Himself. When you see a flower bloom, when you see the tornadoes or the hurricanes, you see any of the created order out there, that's seeing God at work. Now, that's not to say that God creates the tornadoes to damage and destroy things or the hurricanes. That's the nature of the created order. You see the sunrise, you see the sunset, you see the rain falling, you see a rainbow. Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe. All that the prophets had declared, was it not necessary for the Messiah that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into His glory? Then, you know, this is a long walk because it's a long talk. Because when He says in verse 27, then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He didn't skip any. He said all the prophets. He interpreted to them the things about Himself in all the Scriptures. Now, that had to have been a nice long walk, because it was going to be a long talk. Isaiah and all the other prophets. And as they came near to the village to which they were going, He walked ahead of them as if He were going on. They urged Him strongly, saying, stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over. Think about this. We are so practical and so realistic. They are people of the world, and they know that their human bodies and the things that work around them that they can see, touch, hear, feel, taste, those are things that, you know what happens in the ancient world when it gets dark? Bad things happen. Now, not always, but the predators are out, the highwaymen, the robbers, and if nothing else, the trails aren't well-paved highways and asphalt walkways and bike rideways and stuff like that. These are pockmarked roads with potholes, with twists and turns. And if it's dark and you can't see, you trip, you fall, you get hurt. So what you don't do is keep walking after sunset. What you do is you find someplace safe to abide in until the next day, and then you do your traveling. Now, it's important that we understand this. They knew it was the end of the day. They were stopping. And they invite Jesus to eat with them. And when He was at the table with them, He took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. And the key piece here is then their eyes were opened. What, so they'd been walking around with their eyes closed all along? No. Their eyes were open, but their hearts were so stuck on the death. Their hearts were so stuck and fixed on what their eyes and their mind intellectually could accept. They couldn't see that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the one who had hung on a cross and died for them, for their salvation, was there with them. Having dinner. Because that was too far out of their realm of belief. So when their eyes were opened and they recognized Him, and then what happens? He vanishes. So the resurrection body has properties. I said last week, the resurrection body is one that the properties of our human body, I can't walk through that wall without hurting myself or the wall. And if I'm telling you, the wall's not going to get hurt too much. I'm the one that's going to get hurt. Okay? But Jesus is able to come into and appear and disappear like that. But He's not a ghost. It's not a ethereal spirit, because He can eat. People can touch Him. They can see Him. They can hear Him. They can feel Him. They can see the impact that his sacrifice is left with him in his hands and his side and his feet. That resurrection body has properties that you and I have no way of conceiving until God reveals it to us. And we've got that revealed in some of the scripture accounts, that where Jesus is able to show up and then be gone and defy all of our logic, defy all of our senses, because he's not bound by earth or death. They recognized him and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, were our hearts not burning within us while we were talking, while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us, you know, peeling the doubt, peeling the unbelief off of their heart, not their eyes. They could now see and realize that it was Christ Jesus who Pontius Pilate had crucified. But God wasn't ready for Christ to give up anything at that point in time. Christ gave up his own life and he had the power to take it up again. That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. Okay, well, for you and me, that's no big deal. It's only 6 miles. You know, it's kind of at the end of the day. It's not quite sunset yet. But you know what? Hartfield is how far away? About 6 or 7 miles. If you get in your automobile, can you be in Hartfield before the sun sets, even if you leave at 7:20? Yeah, and if not, you've got lights. You can travel at dark. Well, these two guys are going to make the same journey that it took them maybe 4 to 5 hours to make. They're going to make that at night. And they're not traveling slow. Because just like Mary leaving the garden, they've got something to tell the disciples. And what do? They get in there and they say, we're not our hearts. That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, the 11 disciples and all the others that were gathered there, they were saying, the Lord has risen indeed. And he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. I mean, can't you just see him standing around? I saw him, I did. And then, as we read in Luke, now there's some difference between Matthew and Mark in the timing, and there's some difference in John in the timing, but there's not a difference in ultimately what happens. Jesus reveals himself. And then, verse 36, the verses for today only went to 35, but 36, while they were talking. Now, this is Cleopas and his friend and everybody else, probably Mary, Martha, Suzanne, and who knows how many. And goodness gracious, if there's anybody around here who says there were no women of power, no women of responsibility, no women of authority in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they aren't reading the same Old Testament, New Testament that I have in my hand, because there were women abounding. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And they were startled. Surprise! He doesn't have to say surprise. He just shows up. Why? And it's undeniable when they see him, they hear him, they feel him, they can touch him. Christ reveals himself to them. But you know what? We still feel that and see that today. You think the miracles have stopped happening today? You think miracles don't occur anymore? You know, how many times have you read accounts where someone was prepped for surgery and there was a tumor that had been found, and you know, the MRIs had indicated there was a tumor or there was a cyst or there was something, and they're set up to do a surgery. And I've read accounts where a doctor, just for whatever reason, decided to take another MRI or do another CT scan or something like that, and they do it and they find out the lumps are gone. Or when they actually surgically open up the individual and they're looking for a tumor and there is none. Now, I'm not saying God does that every time, and certainly I think when you think of the miracles of surgery and the way that modern science has been able to either eradicate a tumor or remove a tumor from through various ways. Those surgeons and doctors are not doing that of their own. God's given them the talents and the skills. God's given them the wherewithal to do that, because we don't have anything without what God has given us. Now, how many miracles do you see every day? We can't explain it, but the sun coming up is a miracle. We kind of count on that. We think we can explain how the flowers pop up and keep blooming, but we don't really. We know it happens. We can't explain exactly how it happens. There are so many things in this created world that we can't explain. We accept. And because we can't explain them, but we can accept them, we believe in them, and we have faith in them, and we trust in them, how much more so are we required? How much more so are we invited to believe and have faith and trust God that He will fulfill His promises because of what He's done for us? Peace. Your heart can be troubled. Your heart can be devastated. But I guarantee you, God's not going to leave you. Christ is not going to leave you. He's going to be with you, whether it's in a surgery or a treatment or when you're just dealing with a huge loss. Now, God also calls each and every one of us to be His hands and His feet. We know that there are people that are suffering, that are hurting. Well, you and I have a responsibility to be the presence of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, serving, ministering, helping. And sometimes, yes, I know it's hard. I know some of you will find this hard to believe, but I, in fact, can and have on occasion. Just sat down. And just been a presence. Because sometimes words escape you. Faith. And opened eyes. Not just the baby blues, but your heart. Shalom.